Thanks for joining us for today's message. We hope that it fills you with hope and encouragement and draws you closer to Jesus. But don't stop there. Download our app today and stay connected throughout the week. And finally, if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Now enjoy today's message.
I want to read to you from John chapter 4. The title of my message today is Jesus, Our Endless Supply. Someone was here a few weeks ago, and they said, Josh, sometimes you take your time getting on the on-ramp of the highway of your message, and sometimes you just kind of hit us right with it. And I want to hit you right with it. I don't want you to be confused. I don't want to be vague. I don't want to be ambiguous. I want to be very clear about the point that I want to drive home today. I'm going to say it so much you're probably going to get tired of it, but I want to build it into your heart, and I want you to give it a chance to register in your mind that Jesus is our endless supply. I want you to say that out loud. Say, Jesus is my endless supply. I want you to say it one more time. Say, Jesus is my endless supply. I want you to type it in the comments section as you're watching today. Jesus is my endless supply. I want you to write it down. Jesus is my endless supply. That's the title of my message. And in John chapter 4, I'm going to read several verses, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to kind of launch into this. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, here's what the gospel writer says. So he, Jesus, came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, I have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus is our endless supply. Father in heaven, I come to you now in the matchless name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. And God, I ask you in these moments we have together that you would bring clarity into every heart and mind that's open and receptive. If there are any hearts that have been hardened, Lord, I ask you right now by your Spirit to come. Soften those hearts. Give us a mind and a heart that is focused on you, pursuing you. Reveal to us today exactly how you want to be our endless supply. Lord, I give you thanks for that. In the matchless name of Jesus, amen. If you agree with that, let me hear you say amen. Hey, did they do an awesome job helping us again today? They did an awesome job. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel and Janet. Thank you to all of the Dream Teamers who are helping and serving and making a massive difference. I saw a couple of the comments, and I wanted to comment on one of the comments that stood out to me. Someone said, "It seems as though we've done more during this time and not less." And I really like that, because that is our aim, is to always do more. We're called more life, church, we ought to do more, not less. Isn't that right? Because Jesus has called us to the more. If you haven't liked, commented, and shared yet, go ahead and do that right now. Jesus, our endless supply. John chapter 4, I have a few thoughts. I want to illustrate this at the very end so that what I think will happen is it will create an image in your mind that you'll be able to hold and capture for a long time going forward, building on this thought, Jesus, my endless supply. In John chapter 4, we see this incredible story, this incredible encounter of Jesus with a woman at the well. And they really get into all kinds of deep, really things that are underlying this conversation that you may not be aware of at the surface. But during the last several weeks, we have said that God wants to raise our sights and wants us to look higher. He doesn't want us to look out and down. He wants us to look up. And what I want to say right here is Jesus, when Jesus gets involved in the conversation, he always elevates the conversation. And I want to go through this a few lines at a time that just kind of stood out to me as I was reading. And it begins in verse 6. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied. Everybody say out loud, say wearied. Have you ever been tired? You're in good company because Jesus was tired. I think some of us have this impression of Jesus that he was like this, like angelic being that floated from position and point to point on some kind of really nice fluffy cloud and was over and not susceptible to the human condition. This verse says Jesus was tired. And everywhere I look right now, here's what I see setting in. I see fatigue setting in people's hearts and minds during this season. I hear people saying, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. You can just fill in the blank with whatever. I'm tired of my spouse. I'm tired of my kids. I'm tired of the government. I'm tired of the church. I'm tired of the grocery store. I'm tired of not going to the grocery store. People are just tired. They're tired, 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 tired. And I have a word for all the tired people out there. Jesus is our endless supply. There is help and hope today. A woman comes to him and she says to him, and he says to her, give me a drink. And then something interesting happens that I want to highlight just a few of these things as I get all the way down to the bottom. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for help? Because here's the situation. The Jews and the Samaritans have a racial tension going on. And she's bringing an issue, really, really big issue, into this conversation. This issue of our massive disagreement about a subject. Does anyone see me connecting the dots with today's environment? There is so much destructive dissension and lack of unity. Can I just say this to you? In a moment in time where I didn't think it was possible for people to be more divided, here comes the enemy with another way to divide us. As if it wasn't enough if it was set on race, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. There's tension racially. That already exists. And then there's tension politically. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, Purple Party, whatever color it is. I mean, there's just political tension all over the place. Now there's tension over masks and no masks and serious or conspiracy. And there's just this massive tension. And Jesus is right in the middle of this tense moment where this woman is bringing up a very controversial subject. And here's what I want you to know. Jesus ignored the tension that she was highlighting. Jesus always elevates our conversations. He will always bring your conversation up to a higher level. And here's what he says. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She says to him, are you greater than our father Jacob? It's interesting. She brings up this conversation again, this tense moment. Are you smarter than the experts? Do you know more than all of the historians? Do you have some kind of information greater than all of the past rabbis and people who have come before you? I just want to kind of highlight, do you see the kind of aggressive tone that she's taking with him in this conversation? It isn't just black and white words. There's emotion in this conversation. I wonder if you've ever had a conversation with emotion attached to it. I wonder, for all the married couples watching, have you had intense, lively discussion with your spouse during the last 10 weeks? I want to tell the people watching online this, everyone in this room, they are giving me such a holy and pious look as though they know, as if they have no idea what I'm talking about. So I know you know what I'm talking about, even if they won't admit knowing what I'm talking about. Maybe you've had an intense discussion with a family member about something that's going on, an opinion, a belief, a thought, an idea, a suggestion. Let me just jump ahead and say this. I want you, as a pastor, here's my number one goal for you, that you reach your full potential in Christ. And here's what I want to say. You need to know more about who Jesus is than you know about the specifics about this virus. It got real quiet in this Presbyterian church. I just wonder, I want to challenge you. Have you spent more time in the Word or on YouTube? Chasing ideas. Chasing things that may or may not be true. I've found it very challenging in this time, and I guess I'm just going to go ahead and go after it today. I've found it very challenging in this time to verify factual information. I don't know if you've had that issue or not, but you've got the CDC that says one thing, should be a reputable, a trustworthy organization. They say one thing about the matter, and then you've got the World Health Organization, who should be a reputable source of information. They say the exact opposite. And I don't care, and I don't want you to get in an argument over this in the comments section, because we're not going to do that. But what I'm simply saying to you is this, it's becoming more and more difficult, no matter what your viewpoint is, it's becoming more and more difficult to verify facts. And what Jesus wants us to do is he wants us to elevate the conversation, and he wants us to move away from only being consumed by the facts to being in love with the truth. And the Bible says this, Jesus says this about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, he doesn't just say, I have truth, he is the truth. And so for every Christ follower who's in love with Jesus, you are in love with the truth. And my suggestion to you is that you become a deep lover of the truth. Someone says, what does that mean? Go after Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our endless supply of what does he supply to us, Josh? Whatever you need. I'm going to prove that to you in a moment with a verse of scripture, but let me finish this. And he says this in verse 13. He says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. You drink out of the well, you're going to get thirsty again. But if you will drink the water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. He is a well that will never run dry. I wish I could hear from all of my rural friends out there who've had a well run dry and experienced no water. This last week, we had a storm that came through, and our power went out. Our power doesn't normally go out, but it went out, and I had some place that I needed to be, And I needed to jump in the shower. I'd been working on some things I had to clean up. And I went in to turn on the water in the shower. And you couldn't even get under it. I mean, it wasn't even a trickle. What I didn't realize was that the pump, when the power goes out, it stops running and no flow is headed into the house. Now listen, some of you right now, you're tired and you're exhausted. And you're tired and exhausted because the flow has stopped running into your house. What's the house? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, we get tired and we get overwhelmed the moment we become dependent on things and people that God never asked us to become dependent on. He wants to be the endless supply. Philippians 4:19, a familiar verse that many of you know, says this, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He never runs out. I know I'm making this point, but Josh, why do you keep making this point? I need you to move on. No, you don't. You need me to stay right here. And I'm gonna be real frank, because I know y'all. I know people really, really well. Some of y'all will listen to news broadcasts for 4 straight hours, and they've said the exact same thing over and over and over and over again. Am I telling the truth? People in the room, am I telling the truth? I don't care what station you listen to. I don't care what network is your favorite. They've got one thing and they just keep regurgitating it over and over and over again. And I find it a little bit concerning that we will get bored with the Word of God, but we won't get bored with the things of this world. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching today. I need some help with the emojis at least, dear Jesus. He is our endless supply. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, they'll put it on screen, and I'm gonna get out of the way here in just a second as soon as I make a point or two. And this is the Apostle Paul. Here's what he's saying. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." He said, I didn't have all my words right. I could have said it better. I didn't say it in the most eloquent way possible, but here's what I did in verse 2, and this is what I want you to do. "For I determined, I made up in my mind, I made a decision not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul made a decision. I'm not going to know more about what they're saying. I'm not going to pay attention to their argument. I'm not going to pay attention to their rhetoric. I'm not going to pay attention to their persecution. I'm not going to pay attention to their opinion. I'm not going to pay attention to their flattery. I'm not going to pay attention to anything that they're saying. I've determined in my heart the thing that I need to know the most about, that I need to be the most focused on, is Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that's it. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to make this determination in your heart. I love that you have hobbies. I love that you have interests, but I'm making a call to the body of Christ and to the believer who's been in Christ for decades and the believer who's been in Christ for just minutes. I'm making a plea to you. I'm making a clarion call. I'm sounding a trumpet and I'm saying this: I want you to be determined to know Jesus Christ and him crucified better and more than you know anything else. Like, that is the preeminent thing. That is the main thing. And listen to what he says. And I believe these things go together. Verse 3 says this: "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." Listen, even in your moments of fear and weakness, watch what happens when you determine to know him as your endless supply. Here's what he says. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. But watch this. But my words were in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He says, when you determine to know Jesus Christ, your words change. Your life changes. The way you're viewed by others, how you conduct your life changes. Watch this. And he did this so that our faith, he wanted to encourage you, and I want to encourage you, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What a word that is for us as a church. What a word in due season. It's just like it's just absolutely incredible. Let me keep moving. Let me read Philippians 3 because it's God's word that will cause the power of Christ to be revealed in us. Watch it, watch what he says. Let me give you the takeaway. The solution to that fear is the love of Christ and refocusing our attention on him and on him alone. You want to receive him as your endless supply. Receive him as the one who loves you and begin to refocus your mind. Read the Gospels. Read the epistles. Stay focused on what he's done in your world. That's the first point. The second point is this. View Christ as infinitely valuable and worthy of who you are. Watch this. I'm going to offend some of you here in just a moment, so don't log off just yet. Let me offend you first, and then you can go. Actually, I'm not going to offend you, but the word might. And that's a big distinction. Because if I offend you, I'll apologize, and I'll ask for your forgiveness. But listen, if I tell you what God says, and you're offended, you need to ask him for forgiveness. Because it's his word. Man, that was really good. That was really good and helpful. If I offend you, I should ask for your forgiveness. But if the word of God offends you, you ought to go to God and ask him for forgiveness. Philippians 3 says this, verse 7. But what things were gained to me? So he says, all the stuff that I've accumulated, all the supply that I've added to myself, all the things that I thought were important, he says, I've switched because I've focused my mind on God. I've focused my mind because he says, I determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ. And then he says, these things I have counted as loss. These things I have counted as loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Remember, we just saw that. He determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He revisits that. He revisits the focusing of his mind on the importance of Christ, Christ my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. That word rubbish is translated several different places as dung. So here's what I want to say to you that the word is saying. Everything compared to Christ is crap. That's what it says. I viewed everything else. He says it more eloquently. I could have chosen a much more offensive word that many of you have used this weekend as you were setting up to go wherever you're going. You've used the word on your way out the door out of frustration. He says, I've counted all as dung. I counted all as trash. I counted all as rubbish. Anything and everything compared and measured against the man Christ Jesus is not worthy of our fondness. Watch this. And he says, and to be found in him, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, watch this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In Ephesians 5, now I'm going to tell you how we get there. Ephesians 5. And I'm going to close with this. What elevates Christ? How do I do it? How does it work? What does it look like for me? How do I flesh this out? So we just kind of built some word in you, a foundation that Jesus is the foundation of our endless supply. Now let's look and see how it's applied in our life, and I'm going to illustrate it. So hold on just a moment, because I'm going to illustrate it, we're going to worship, and then we're going to show you the video of how we're planning to regather. But Ephesians 5 says this, verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation or excess or rebellion. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be filled with wine. Don't be intoxicated, but be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that, Paul? He tells us, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to illustrate this, and I'm going to ask Pastor Larry to come up, and I'm going to close with this idea. And in Psalm 23:5, here's what the writer says. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. So Jesus is our endless supply. We see that in the Gospel of John. And then here's what I'm going to ask you to do, Pastor Larry. I'm going to ask you to grab that glass and hold that bucket. Can you do that? And I'm going to move this off to the side. And I'm going to look right here. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to open this can of Diet Coke, and I'm going to pour it in this glass. And this Diet Coke, because I don't like Diet Coke, forgive me if you like it, but this Diet Coke is going to represent all the crap, all the rubbish, all the stuff that we entertain in our life. Can you hold that so everybody can see that? They hold it loosely so they can just see the contents of that. And I'm just going to pour a little bit in. Because if I were to pour the whole thing in, it's going to get a lot more messier. But just say, this glass is you. This glass represents your heart, your soul, your life. And what I want you to see is this, that when we give ourselves to the everlasting, never-ending supply of Christ's Spirit, and we make the commitment, I'm going to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is what he does. He says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is what happens to you when you begin to do those things. Focus your attention on him. His Spirit begins to pour in you, and what it does is it displaces that other stuff and pushes it clear out of your life, and he overflows your cup, and he fills you to overflowing. And if you'll let him, he'll keep on pouring, and he'll keep on pouring, and he'll keep on pouring, and he'll keep on pouring until there's nothing left of that old residue, that old lifestyle, that old stuff in you anymore. He keeps on pouring until it's crystal clear, until it's brand new, until it's washed white like snow, until everything that's been contaminating your world is pushed out, if you'll just look to him as your endless supply. Thanks, man. I want to close. And as we close, I'm going to give you a chance, give you an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. We're going to worship together. But right now, there is power available in your life. Right now, you can make the decision, the dedication, determination for the first time, or maybe as an expression of a recommitment to refocus on Christ. But right now, I'm inviting you to say yes to him.
Thanks again for joining us today. Now take a second and subscribe to our channel, or you can share this message with someone that you think could use it. And if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Have a blessed day.